Your snacking routine can get a little dull. Time for an Oikos Remix or Light and Fit Remix. Like a crunchy storm of sea salt praline pretzels, dark chocolate, and butter toffee, showering down into a smooth, creamy yogurt. Enjoy 6 Remix varieties, 3 Epic Complete Protein Oikos Remix options, or 3 Craveable Light and Fit Remix options. See remixyogurt.com.
This episode is brought to you by Enterprise Mobility. From fleet management to flexible truck rentals to technology solutions, Enterprise Mobility helps businesses find the right mobility solutions so they can find new opportunities. Because if your business is on the road, they want to make sure it's on the road to success. Enterprise Mobility, moving you, moves the world. Find your road at enterprisemobility.com.
Here we go. Welcome to Sunday. Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. It's going to get better because you're watching One Nation, and I'm Brian Kilmeade. Coming up on the show tonight, great roster of guests. They include Kayleigh McEnany. Breakdown how you get your way through a signal disruption like we're witnessing right now with the app that everybody's talking about. Lizzie Savetsky is on the front lines when it comes to pushing back against anti-Semitism. She's going to tell us what's next as she just landed from Israel. Meanwhile, Charlie Allnutt will talk about the media moments that matter the most, and the media mattered a lot this week. Ooh, and also, co-host quiz with my two co-hosts, Lawrence Jones and Ainsley Earhart. It's going to be fun. I'll find out how much those two know about each other. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. The theme this week, crackdown. Yep, we are just 9 weeks in. You have watched President Donald Trump making tough moves on the hardest-hitting issues with great force, right? First, getting rid of DEI programs everywhere, from the Pentagon to the private sector to colleges. Just this week, Michigan came online. Can you believe it? That left-wing school. Now we are focusing as a country on merit over identity.
Welcome to the real world.
All right, it doesn't end there. Cracking down heavily on anti-Semitism, college campuses taking away millions in grants. Secretary of State Marco Rubio already taking action, revoking foreign student visas big time.
It might be more than 300 at this point. We do it every day. Every time I find one of these lunatics, I take away their visa.
You're saying it could be more than 300
sure,
visas?
Sure, I hope. At some point, I hope we run out because we've gotten rid of all of them. But we're looking every day for these lunatics.
Don't you love it? Lunatics? That's what they are. They're certainly anti-American. Demanding the federal workforce go to work. Cleaning out every agency, courtesy of Elon Musk.
We actually want to be careful in the cuts, so we want to measure twice, if not thrice, and cut once. That is our approach. They may characterize it as shooting from the hip, but it is anything but that.
They're the method to the direct crackdown, and crackdowns are happening overseas, too, against our 40-year foe. I'm talking about Iran. They got a 2-month deadline to dismantle their nuclear weapons program. Well, we will do it for them. They answered back this weekend. Smashing Houthi rebels, sinking Iran's spy ship, and are in the process of reopening the Suez Canal. Haranguing Ukraine and Russia until they agree to achieve a ceasefire in some way, shape, or form, or else there'll be a plan B. The biggest hammer saved for hunting down illegals, and it's been relentless.
We're taking really bad people off the street 24/7 across this country. I looked at the numbers the other day. We got about 45,000 removals. The vast majority of them criminal removals, public safety threats, and national security threats. But we're going to keep going until we get them all.
We just an operation in Boston, 370 apprehensions. Most of them are criminals.
This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. And we're going to continue to let good cops be cops across this country. This is not possible without the folks that do the job every single day.
I hear you. Oh, putting an end to TDA, that prison gang from Venezuela. They stripped them down, they trimmed them up, and they sent them out. And the arrest of one of the MS-13 kingpins just outside Washington, D.C. It was stunning. We carried it on Fox and Friends. But that doesn't mean taking our country back comes without blowback.
Let's talk about Tom Homan. Shame on him for lying about my city, for having the nerve to insult our police commissioner who has overseen the safest Boston's been in anyone's lifetime. Bring him here under oath, and let's ask him some questions.
Yeah, he would love that, and you are delusional. And what about Trump keeping men out of women's sports? Some are not happy.
complying with the state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one.
Yeah, and he's going to win this one. And he wants an apology, and he should get it. Critics even slamming the issue of renaming Gulf of America, right? The difference with all this blowback now is it doesn't stop the Trump train from forging ahead.
We are not ramping down. We're just getting started. Nothing stops this train. Nothing.
That wasn't Trump, but you know what I mean. The latest example, a reporter added to the Signal app chat group. It was a story this week, right? It was a mistake. But this time it's not an obstacle. It will not distract and will not sideline the agenda. Because this time, the institutional press isn't allowed to decide what matters to the American people, even though they keep on trying.
Because it follows a very well-worn playbook by President Trump: downplay, disparage, and deny.
But someone should lose their job over this.
Ways that people's lives were in danger.
This is so utterly ridiculous. It's not only a national embarrassment. This is a national emergency.
It's stunning. It's likely the biggest national security debacle that any professional can remember.
Trump's people were caught red-handed. I mean, red-handed. Genuinely shocking scandal. Truly, like, appalling.
Right. Worst thing I've ever seen. It's not going to work this time. The president simply will not allow it. You can't have damaging leaks when you never shut the door. You can't manufacture a scandal when you have team of leaders who find a camera and push back directly and go back to cracking down. You're invited to have your own opinion, but you will never wait long. You will have to wait long to get Trump's opinion. Joining us now is the co-host of Outnumbered and former White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, who's been in the fire before. And Kayleigh, I thought about the Signal story and compared it to the Russia or the impeachment story. It seems like Trump 2 learned from Trump 1.
Yes. And I think we see a well-oiled machine in the Trump administration ready to deploy relentless success. And I think this flood the zone strategy works. Every day, they're flooding the zone with new substance, whether it's you went through college campuses or illegal immigration or the actions on anti-Semitism or the tariffs, which were announced, I believe it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it really kind of cut off the Signal story because he's focused on moving the ball forward for the American people. And what it has the added benefit of doing is cutting off whatever the manufactured outrage is from the left. They will always find something.
Right.
He cuts it off at the knees because he just continues to achieve 100 executive orders on day one. I mean, who would have thought?
But almost every one requires analysis and to look at, okay,
yes,
what does this mean? And then, of course, how do we fight it? Democrats can't get their footing, so they go through the courts. Well, who has the better case? And then how does it work its way up? So everything matters. It's an agenda, and it's either going to be stopped by Democrats or stopped by the courts, but it doesn't seem to stop the Trump team.
It doesn't. And I think that they set up the left in each of these scenarios with some of these court cases. So, for instance, when you see the judge come down, Boasberg, against these two flights that went out, and it's this huge debate, could he deport these alleged TDA members or not? What it does is it forces the left to take the side of not deporting Trinidad Aragua gang members.
Absolutely.
Think about the brilliance of that. It's a court case that's being litigated, but what the American people see is, okay, one person wants to deport gang members, and the other party is defending them. I think I'd rather be with the party of sanity. So the posturing that's done, I don't know how much of it is 4D chess or just chance, but it feels like a lot of this is orchestrated and very smartly so.
Absolutely. We'll see if Vosburgh becomes the new Jack Smith, and we'll see what happens. Now, I want to move over to the Signal story. Mm-hmm. Everything is they made a mistake. There's no doubt about it. We've been through it. But now that we've been through it, I'm watching the other channels, not ONR numbers on. I just watch you.
Thank you.
All right. But here's what Britt Hume says Republicans and the Trump team should do now.
Don't feed the story. So, you know, once you've made your case about what happened and you're maybe waiting for further information to surface, just stop talking about it.
Is it possible?
It is possible. And I think they're largely doing it. President Trump certainly is. If a story like this comes out,
yep,
here's what you do. And Trump did it. You own the mistake. This should have never happened. We can debate classified information and where classification authorities and who classified what when. You can debate war plans and nomenclature. Bottom line is this was a sensitive discussion. Should not have happened this way. Moving forward, we have a new process for engaging in these kinds of discussions. And then you stop talking about it. I completely agree with that. But the one thing I think that you do, and Trump does this brilliantly, and I got the model for my press shop from watching him, offense only. You have to think ahead of these reporters. Jeffrey Goldberg was on this chat on March 15th. Jeffrey Goldberg held the story until March 24th, conveniently the day before the Senate hearing where he knows John Ratcliffe and Tulsi Gabbard will be there. He waits 48 hours, lets people who have not seen the details of the chat, some of them in the press and comms shot, come out, and then he puts the full chat forward, and that's probably the first time many in the press and comms team actually saw that chat. He designed this. So you have to think ahead of the reporter. Know what they're doing, know what they're planning, see the schemes, and don't fall into them.
And then when the relentless questions come up, say, moved on, I answered that. Moved on, I answered that.
Moved on, and Caroline did that this week.
And there is enough substance where there is stories to move on to that are really going to affect people's pocketbooks and our foreign policy, peace talks and everything. Kaylee, it's fascinating time.
It's great.
So, so nice of you to join us.
Always good to join you,
on this beautiful Sunday night.
Thank you.
All right. How great is that? A pro-Hamas Tufts University student, PhD student, who's in this country on a visa, detained for co-authoring an op-ed and other things in a Tufts student newspaper. It's criticized Israel, of course, their actions in Gaza, called for the university to recognize Palestinian genocide, them as victims, of course. It follows the arrest of pro-Hamas grad student Mahmoud Khalil at Columbia. But for ringleaders of anti-Semitism who are believed to be communicating directly with the terror group Hamas, the crackdown is just the beginning. The Trump team is different from the Biden team. They are playing offense, wasting no time hunting them down. So, someone who is on the front lines confronting these anti-Semitic demonstrations is pro-Israeli activist Lizzie Savesky. Now, she's sitting over there, but I want to watch you. I want you to see what she did here.
You're proud of your message. Show your face. Show your face. Show me your face. You hate America. You hate this country. Israel. Israel. You support people who slaughtered two innocent children. You support people who slaughtered a mother and her two babies in cold blood. You make me sick.
Right. She cannot be stopped. Lizzie cannot be denied. She is joining us right now in studio. We're walking over there. And Mark Goldfeder is here. Mark is representing the Hamas families. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Lizzie, let's start with you. You just got back from Israel.
I did, yes.
How heartening is it to have an administration who feels just as passionate about anti-Semitism as you do?
I am so over the moon. Happy to see that they are taking this as seriously as they need to. We have been in a lot of danger, and to see the former administration sympathize with these protesters who we now know have direct ties to the terrorists themselves is insane. We had an administration that said these protesters had a point.
Mark, you are not only feel that, you think you have proof that shows, and you represent the Hamas hostage families, that links this anti-Semitism on the campuses to what's happening in Gaza and the attacks on October 7th. In what way do you have proof?
That's right. And it's not just anti-Semitism. This is really more about anti-America, and Jews are just the canary in the coal mine of intolerance. I brought some receipts to show you. We're talking about direct coordination. Here, for example, is a letter from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps asking their followers in the West, including these students, to put on an economic blockade on April 15th. And wouldn't you know it, they did.
So wait, so they put a call out, the Iranians, to put a blockade up in order to get the word out on college campuses. And you're saying the message got to the U.S. and the next thing you know, posted, or what groups posted this anti-Israeli paraphernalia, this pro-Hamas?
Among them, Students for Justice in Palestine and Within Our Lifetime, which are two of the groups that we just sued in the Southern District of New York. Here, by the way, is a thank you letter they got afterwards from the PFLP, another Hamas-affiliated terrorist organization, thanking them for their service to Hamas. And the beautiful part is when you hire these useful idiots to be your PR agents on American campuses, what you get are useful idiots who make useful idiot mistakes. So, for example, here is an actual recruitment flyer for Hamas. Hamas that they handed out on campus. And it reads, this is an intentional and coordinated effort to uphold the principles of Hamas, the PFLP, and the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade.
Where did that appear?
September 24th, 2024, on Columbia's campus, handed it out by the CUAD, the group that Mahmoud Khalil represents.
So this isn't just a bunch of people who feel that Israel's been too tough in Gaza. This is a bunch of people that believe that Hamas has a point and should be successful. Lizzie, your thoughts about what he has?
I am not surprised at all. I'm so glad to see that we have an amazing lawyer here with the evidence. But I had a mass protester on Columbia's campus last year, last spring, scream to me, "We are Hamas. We're all Hamas." It was all over your network, actually, this clip of this person screaming this at me. But they've been telling us exactly who they are. And we have video footage of the terrorists in Gaza thanking their brothers at Columbia, referring to Columbia Apartheid Divest, the organization, this radical hate group on Columbia's campus that Mahmoud Khalil was leading the charge on. They were doing activities like leading an intifada teach-in that we were protesting outside of.
We know all about what happened on college campuses more a year ago than what's happening again at Barnard a couple of weeks ago. But, Mark, are the colleges duped? Are they surprised by this? Are they surprised in their midst are pro-Hamas protesters with links to a terror group thousands of miles away?
They can't be surprised. They're hiding behind these false understandings of the First Amendment. The First Amendment is not some shield that allows you to harass and intimidate other people. But these colleges have been allowed for too long off the hook because no one has been enforcing the provisions of Title VI. Thank God the Trump administration is now starting to do that.
What do the Hamas families want from you?
Justice, and they want people to know that October 7th wasn't the end. These families, their loved ones are still being held in terror tunnels in Gaza. This is an ongoing crisis, and it has been fomented and supported by these groups on campus that are working hard to change American minds and support.
True or false, Hamas hostage holders were telling hostages that we have links to American schools while they're in the tunnels being held against their will.
One of our plaintiffs in this case, Shlomi Ziv, was held as a captive in Gaza. And his captors bragged to him about the operatives that they have on U.S. American campuses, and they showed him pictures of the very encampment that Mahmoud Khalil organized.
Lizzie, you just got back from Israel. What was the message? How is America's new position on this resonating in Israel?
Everyone at this conference on anti-Semitism that I was at, hosted by the Ministry of Diaspora Affairs, is so glad to see an administration that is taking this problem seriously. Ambassador David Friedman said that we are never going to win the hearts and minds of anti-Semites because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. But what we can do is hit them where it hurts. We can arrest them, we can deport them, and we can cut off their funding. And that is exactly what we are seeing the Trump administration put into action. The only way that we're going to solve this problem is if we cut it off and enforce consequences. We weren't seeing that, and now we are, and now there's finally hope.
And these cowards are protesting in the streets with masks on their faces. They don't want to be seen, but now they got to take the mask off if they're on the campuses. At least that's what Columbia is saying. Lizzie and Mark, best of luck. We want to stay with you along the way, and hopefully these Hamas families, these Israeli families get justice.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Still to come, college sports, as we once knew them, seem to be a thing of the past. We have more on the true impact of paying players and name, image, and likeness. And the administration is turning the tables on the biased left-wing media. It's the media moments that matter with Charlie Arnold. That's next. Oh, and by the way, I want to see you next in June 21st on stage. History, Liberty, and Laughs. It's patriotic. I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. It's patriotism. It's inspirational, aspirational. Don't miss a minute. BrianKilmeade.com.
I've got a Jeep with camouflage seats. That way.
There are many ways to do this.
That matter.
All right, there you go. I don't know who that voice is, but it's really effective. That is right. Our favorite segment is here right on One Nation. This week, we gave the VCR all the cords, as well as a VCR tape, to Charlie Arnold to watch everything possible and then decide
I missed the VCR. I haven't seen it in a few weeks since I've been here last.
But you've seen it just now,
yes.
Right? Okay, good. So Charlie, I want to see what you came up with. Three big stories. Impress me.
Okay, well, first of all, it was a Collins versus Collins showdown on CNN. We know it's been a rough week for Caitlin Collins. First, she got swatted down in the press pool room by Donald Trump. Now she's getting taken down on her own show. She was supposed to be interviewing VA Secretary Doug Collins about veterans, but instead, of course, she tried to manipulate the conversations, trying to get him to talk about that signal leak. He, instead of playing defense, he decided to straight up play offense, and it was absolutely brilliant. Watch.
Caitlin, as I've just told you, I've just answered the question. I wasn't part of it. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate more than what the president's already talked about and those who've been involved have talked about. But we'd love to talk about the veterans.
Is this typical for the cabinet to have conversations over Signal? Is this something that you use?
Well, Caitlin, Senator, you undoubtedly do not want to talk about the VA. I have a question as VA secretary, and I would like to know why CNN is hostile to veterans, especially one in Florida where you just had a $5 million defamation suit, taking offense at a veteran who was trying to help people. Mm-hmm.
So he went on the offense. He's very confident. This is an experienced guy. He's not going to take it. You're not going to Russia-ify this story.
Well, I think we've been seeing this being the trend now. We know that there's the fake news media who tries to totally dictate the narrative and manipulate things. I think you saw here Secretary Collins. He was sharp. He was unapologetic. He was calm. He's calling out the fake news media for what it is. And, of course, CNN belongs in that category.
You know what, Charlie? I think the question's fine. But four questions in a row is not fine.
She clearly was trying to get him to speak out against his colleagues, and he had nothing to say. He's like, listen, I did not have a part of this. What do you want me to say? I'm not going to let you take me in a direction that I have no intention of going in.
I get the sense you're kind of yelling at me, because that's how passionate you are.
I'm getting so fired up.
So great. Did you have anything else?
Oh, of course I do. I always have more up my sleeve, Brian. DOGE already doing a fantastic job cutting government wasteful spending. We know this. Now the GOP wants to take it a step further. They're going after the chronically biased NPR and PBS because we all know, again, if we want to talk about the fake news media, not a single Republican editor in sight. So the House committee, the subcommittee for DOGE, had a few things to say as far as NPR and PBS were concerned recently. Take a look.
NPR and PBS have increasingly become radical left-wing echo chambers for a narrow audience of mostly wealthy, white, urban liberals and progressives.
I don't even recognize the station anymore. It's not news. I feel like it's propaganda. I feel like there's disinformation every time I listen to NPR.
Let's talk about the newsroom. You have 87 registered Democrats, not a single Republican in your editor board. So, I mean, how does that work to give us the perception that you're doing your job of actually delivering unbiased information?
So the Democrats this whole time kept pointing out to children's programming and saying Elmo's a problem. It's a threat to Republicans. But in all seriousness, there is no Republican at NPR. It is publicly financed, but they do get private financing. So the question is now, they had no defense for it. This has to be cut. They're going to sue back, but this has to be cut, don't you think?
Well, even at the same hearing, you had the CEO for NPR, Catherine Marr. She was talking about, you know, and if we want to talk about Catherine Marr, she is the literal central casting for crazies on the left.
Absolutely.
I mean, unfortunately, that is what we have to call her
out
for.
And she tweeted it out. She put it in writing.
She, at one point, called Donald Trump a fascist and deranged racist sociopath. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't actually mean it. Yes, you did. You still hate Donald Trump. So, again, I know they get some public private funding, but if they want to be crazy, let's let them do it on their own and raise all their own money.
The last one should give everyone pause because maybe somebody understands that the left has gone too left.
They have, and they absolutely have not learned their lesson since the election. Now we have Jasmine Crockett going after Governor of Texas Greg Abbott for being confined to a wheelchair, telling an asinine joke that actually fell very flat when she told it. Republicans, of course, went after her immediately, but even her own party now going after her. So here's a clip at what CNN's Van Jones had to say. Watch.
I think you have to be very careful when you're talking about people with disabilities. And I don't think she was careful. And I don't know her enough to say she's not being honest. But I'm going to tell you, it sounded bad. I hope that she will take this as lessons. You talked about learning lessons, that type of stuff. It doesn't sound to me like she's actually taking full responsibility. If that's true, I don't like it. And she can't do that again. She's too important to us to do that again.
You know why it doesn't seem like she's taking responsibility? Because she's not. She's saying that Hot Wheels was a comment, nothing to do with his wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a child buying Hot Wheels, I believe it has to do with your mocking the fact that he's been a wheelchair since he was 30. So Van Jones is trying to be gentle, even-headed. Between that and the cursing, I don't understand what they're doing.
Well, he's just calling out the Democratic Party for having no direction. Right now, they have no ideas. They have no original solutions. They're just full of bitterness and resentment. And if this is the way for them, their future is even bleaker than it is at this current point in time.
Hey, can I just add, your future could not be brighter. in my personal opinion.
Ryan, you as well.
Right, but
thank
just
you.
As a favor, could I get the VCR back? And I'm going to need the tapes and the wires for next week's guest.
Is that okay, fine. I'll let you borrow them. Right, but only for 1 week, then I want it back.
I should really keep you for the next segment because you are a sports expert and sportscaster. College sports have become the wild, wild west. We dive deep into the true impact of NIL and the thought of paying players as well as transfer portals. And coming up later in the show, the co-host quiz, we will see how much Fox & Friends co-host Ainsley Earhart, who I've met in person, and Lawrence Jones, who I also know, but how much they know about each other. Keep it right here. It's only happening on One Nation.
Kubota Orange Days deliver.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. Deadly severe weather is battering the central U.S. from the Great Lakes region to Texas. The storms are packing ice, destructive winds, heavy rain, large hail, and even tornadoes. At least one person was killed in Indiana when crosswinds tipped over a tractor trailer. The system will continue moving east overnight. Thunderstorms could stretch over almost the entire East Coast by tomorrow evening. Anticipation and concern are growing over a major new tariff set to take effect this week. On Wednesday, President Trump is expected to announce new reciprocal tariffs on essentially all countries. That same day, 25% tariffs on Mexican and Canadian goods are set to kick in. And then on Thursday, 25% tariffs on all cars shipped to the U.S. will start. Auto part imports will face separate taxes. Those are expected by May 3rd. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
What do we give them? What, cars? Tractors? Give a kid a tractor? Another kid we give a house? Didn't we give him a house? You know, bags of cash? I don't know what we gave these kids. You know, they asked for things. We gave it to them. Because this ain't about education. It ain't much about winning, and it sure as hell ain't much about basketball. It's about money.
Yep. That's the 1994 classic. Nick Nolte, of course, Shaquille O'Neal made his debut on the big screen in Blue Chips. But nearly 30 years later, does it sound any different? Former NFL star J.J. Watt calling out the NCAA, saying it isn't college football anymore. It's professional sports league with no structure. And just own it. The madness is in full swing on and off the court, with teams fighting to make the Elite Eight. And the transfer portal opening up in the middle of the NCAA basketball tournament. Players are already on the move, looking for bigger opportunities and bigger paydays. Is this just the new reality of college sports, or is the system completely out of control and we should just get used to it? Joining us now, a man in the middle of it, Midwinter, an attorney who handles all this stuff with NIL and paying players and high school athletes and has been there from day one where everything changed in 2021. Mid, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So when the Ed O'Bannon suit goes forward in 2021 and Ed O'Bannon wins and the name, image and likeness goes back to the players, some of which have left the game already and even left their pro careers already, what changed in college sports?
Yeah, but the big change is prior to 2021, when the NCAA did change its rules to allow college athletes to receive NIL compensation, college athletes were not able to receive payments for use of their NIL, name, image, and likeness. So they couldn't do endorsement deals, things like that. And when the rules changed, very quickly the world shifted from athletes not being able to receive any NIL compensation to receiving a lot of NIL compensation. And most people had in their mind that the compensation paid to athletes will be coming from those type of endorsement deals. But it quickly moved to most of the NIL compensation being paid to athletes coming from boosters and what are known as NIL collectives.
So now you have name, image, and likeness, and you have flat-out payments. I mean, you're basically, if you're an All-American high school player at 18, great quarterback, are you looking at $1 million to get you to a top school?
Definitely in some cases. There are certainly high school athletes that are being offered seven figures to go play football at a specific school. So the payments are, you know, ostensibly for the use of their name, image, and likeness, but they're really being paid to go play football or basketball or whatever sport it is at right. that school.
So then now you have the other dynamic of, okay, I'm not playing, or I want to go to a bigger school because I've established myself in a pretty good school, and I want to go for my senior year like Jaden Daniels to an LSU or Joe Burrows to finish out my senior year in a separate place, this so-called portal. Now everyone's going to the portal for more money and more opportunity. Is that healthy?
I guess it depends on which perspective you're looking at. For the athletes, I think it's great that they are able to monetize their talents. If you're a coach, it can make your job harder because every year, right now there's annual free agency in college athletics. So every year you're having to build a new team. So that's much different than how college athletics used to be, where guys were or girls were usually out of school for at least a couple of years. Now there's a lot more turnover and transferring than there previously was. And obviously the right. NIL compensation offered by boosters and collectives and soon to be from schools plays a big part in that.
Ratings are still going up in college basketball, because so far we're seeing in this tournament less upsets. A lot of people think it's because the money is only going to certain places. Lastly, real quick, we have a court case coming up that could provide some more rules. It's the House versus the NCAA. What will change after that case is decided?
Yeah, the big change that will probably come out of that case is the schools will be able to just directly pay NIL compensation to the athletes. As I mentioned, right now, most of the NIL compensation being paid to athletes is coming from boosters, or what are known as NIL collectives, which are just groups of boosters. But assuming this settlement is approved by the judge in this case, the schools will just take over that role wow. and be directly paying compensation to the athletes.
Wow. So much going on. We have much more to cover, but it's just fascinating how much the game has changed and so quickly. Midwinter, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Meanwhile, next on this show, only on One Nation, it's everyone's favorite segment, the co-host quiz featuring Ainsley Earhart and Lawrence Jones. I know them well.
A long way. Pick me up and dust me off.
Take your business from launch to let.
All right, it is time now for the moment that everybody in TV thinks about, talks about. It is time now for the co-host quiz. On One Nation, we have tried to patent this, and we've been successful. First off, I'm sorry, I haven't met you yet. Can you introduce yourselves? Okay, I'll pretend like I really know them. Lawrence Jones, co-host yes. of Fox and Friends, uh-huh. 6'5". How much?
That's right.
Do you weigh?
I'm not telling them.
Don't ask me that.
Ainsley Earhart, 5'7".
Hey, everyone.
5'8"?
5'7 and 3/4, but I'm shrinking every day.
127?
128.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the co-host quiz. We have asked these two lovely people to come down to find out how much they really know about each other, the people you sit next to each and every day, and we've been trying to do this for at least a year. Are you ready?
Yes. Are these secret?
These are secret okay. questions.
Why am I nervous?
All right. Are you ready, Ainsley? The
yes.
first question for Ainsley about Lawrence.
Okay.
Lawrence was the blank for Garland, Texas in 2009.
Oh, he was the mini mayor. He was like the little mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hold on. The youth mayor. He was the youth mayor, number B, letter B.
Letter B, that's true. Fact check.
I bet he was all
nothing.
Of these things.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have money for a scorekeeper.
You
it is 1-0 Ainsley.
Nope. Who told you this?
I know you
okay.
so well.
All right. Question for Lawrence about Ainsley.
Okay.
If there was an emergency, which Fox anchor would Ainsley call
that's
first?
Easy.
If there was an emergency, what Fox anchor would Ainsley call first?
Sean Hannity.
Judges? It is 1-1. There we go. 1-1. Are you getting
right,
nervous?
That's right. That was an
okay.
easy one.
All right. Yeah. Well, how did that make that list? Question for Ainsley
yes.
about Lawrence.
Okay.
Lawrence brings his service dog, Nala, to work. Which Friends co-host would he trust to walk and watch Nala should he be busy? Which Fox
this
and Friends co-host?
Definitely not you. You would lose Nala. Steve would be good with him, but I have a dog. You better pick me. Is it not me?
Which would you guess?
Pick.
Brian, because Ainsley would spoil her too much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right.
She needs discipline.
Brian would lose the dog.
I would not. I'm great with dogs. Are you kidding?
Brian loses his wallet. Give her too many trees.
This is not about Brian.
And baby her.
Question for Lawrence about Ainsley. What would Ainsley do? What would Ainsley's dad do every day to inspire her?
Okay, ABC and D.
Okay,
Are you kidding me?
This is so broad.
What would Ainsley's dad do to
inspire her? I know. He got up and went to work.
That's a good answer. He did do that. That's wrong.
But that is wrong. You didn't want to tell him?
You've worked with me for so long. He would leave little notes of scripture and little sayings next to our cereal bowl.
This is incredible. You're talking about
the mailbox one. He says that wasn't him. That wasn't he.
It wasn't him?
No, I don't know who did that. No, I don't know who did that.
So there's a stalker?
They would leave me letters from Jesus in my mailbox.
Right. This has to be investigated.
We don't know who that was. If whoever that was, come forward.
Question for Ainsley about Lawrence. Okay. Ainsley, if the Cowboys played the Texans in football, who would Lawrence want to win?
Easy. The Cowboys.
Cowboys, ladies and gentlemen. Cowboys. Congratulations. Ainsley is ahead, representing all women. Question for Lawrence about Ainsley. Ainsley's babysitter just called out sick. Her only choice is a Fox & Friends co-host or reporter to watch the baby. Who would she choose?
Ainsley's
babysitter just called out sick. Her only choice is a Fox & Friends co-host or Fox & Friends reporter contributor. Who would she choose to watch?
Reporter or Fox & Friends?
Contributor. No, it's on regularly. On every day. On every day.
This is terrible.
Same with you with Nala. It's the same question.
Okay, answer it. Okay, I'll say Steve.
Janice or Carl?
I'm not Janice leaving my little girl all with right. three men. Sorry.
Question for Ainsley about Lawrence.
I thought you said the same question, which is one of us.
Okay. What's Lawrence's drink of choice?
This is a multiple choice.
I already know it.
Okay, go ahead.
Casamigos Respiato with lime.
Ladies and gentlemen, judges, it's true.
Ainsley. How do you say that?
I've never seen such an unbalanced competition.
We've had many of those together.
This is true.
All right, here we go.
This is rigged.
Question for Lawrence about Ainsley.
They stole the election.
What would Ainsley say is the strangest thing Brian does?
Oh, God, where do you begin? How long is this show?
The strangest thing?
The strangest thing that Brian
does. Can I do a list?
Everything.
Can I answer it? The question?
Yeah.
Is there multiple choice?
It could be 16 things.
I mean, it could be anything.
Okay, what is the strangest thing? Just calm down, guys.
Yeah, well, you walk away from conversation.
Yes. Right. Yes. Okay,
but you haven't made a choice yet.
He thinks he invented walking.
He thinks he can walk.
He hates gum.
He cannot stand the heater. The heater turns that off sometimes.
The heater, he turns it
you
off.
You see the other day, he kicked it.
He kicks his coffee all over the room.
He feeds his shirt all the time. All of them are right.
All of those are right. All of the above.
Why would we both get a point? Why would we help him? Spills everything, looks into space while trying to talk.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
And will not
spills
eat on
everything.
Air.
No. And will not eat on no. air.
So that's no. impossible.
But he doesn't mind who eating his shirt.
Who ended up going?
And won't wear cowboy boots.
That's right.
Right. That's not strange. That's
Lawrence,
normal.
I helped you with that. But you deserve a point.
All right. Yeah. Okay, last question for each. Okay. Remember, at stake is a part of One Nation apparel or traveling mug. Okay. Question for Ainsley about Lawrence. In 2020, Lawrence sat down for an interview on Fox Nation with what polarizing NASCAR driver? Wow. In 2020, Lawrence sat down with an interview on Fox Nation with what polarizing...
Okay, ask him my question. Let's both think about it.
Okay.
Who was it?
You can't make the rules.
I've got to think.
Ainsley's first job out of college.
And you're doing it.
I know.
It's fine.
Ainsley's first job out of college was reporting at a...
He got a multiple choice. You got to give me a multiple choice on the NASCAR thing, too.
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
Ainsley's first job out of college was reporting at a local CBS station in her hometown of Columbia. Which award did she win? Freedom of expression, best personality of the year, most successful hometown kid.
Okay, I know this.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
Wasn't that polarizing NASCAR driver?
Okay, well, I need A, B, C, and D. That's the only.
Nope.
That's fair. That's
okay.
fair.
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
Bubba Wallace. Danny Hamlin.
The first one, Jeff Gordon.
Wrong.
Who was it?
And you were right.
Who
oh, you go ahead.
Wait, and
a
you
guess.
Were right. Who was it?
What the, did
you
Bubba guess? Wallace.
I know that, but what was the guess for Ainsley?
Oh, it was C.
It was C. What was C?
C was best hometown kid. Okay.
No, it was B, personality of the year. Yeah, wrong.
Sure,
so, ladies and gentlemen,
wait a minute.
The
final
score.
The winner. Can we see a full screen, Ainsley? You have 1-3-2 over just, Lawrence Jones, even talk, though he's younger.
Can we just talk about and, how she changed
and,
the rules?
And technically.
And you agreed to it.
But can
you
we
just, agreed to
that
it.
That was only fair.
Show a full screen of
you
Ainsley.
You got multiple choices and you still got it wrong. I think we're both winners.
Okay, that's right.
I've never been ignored like this in my life. I have to usually wait from 6 to 9 Eastern to do this. A full screen, you can make your choice of any of the One Nation apparel or objects. Can we show a full screen? There we go. Can make
oh, wow.
your choice.
There's a whole website.
Yeah,
nice.
Look at that. Go ahead. Make your choice, Ainsley. Do you want a mug of me?
Oh,
or do you
oh,
want
you mean
hat?
We get the choice. I definitely
yeah.
want the mug of you. I need to. I already wake up with you
see
every
that?
Morning. Now,
that
now you'll be in my apartment.
That would not have been my choice.
That would not have been my choice.
All right.
That would
have
not been my choice.
What are you getting?
The,
oh, you don't get
I don't
one.
Get,
oh.
He's the winner. Congratulations.
He's making
Ainsley.
Fun of me.
He's the winner.
There you go. Nice job.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we have a special announcement. The next time you see the co-host quiz, we have a special treat. Lawrence, you'll be the host, and I'll be sitting here against the female anchor.
That's next on One Nation.
Or One Nation in just a moment.
Oh, God.
Looking to take your brand national?
It's time now for a sneak peek at the week that's coming up. GOP leaders, number one, will vote to limit power of district judges. Wouldn't that be a nice change of pace? Hopefully we'll get that passed through the House. Speaking of the House, they're going to vote on the SAVE Act to stop non-citizens from voting. I thought we handled that in the Constitution. Florida's holding two special elections to fill Matt Gaetz's seat and Michael Walz's seat. They're both going to be close. They're not a given for some reason. And a hearing on two California bills banning transgender athletes from participating. We have to explain it to the people of California. Meanwhile, Bill Maher and Kid Rock will meet with President Trump at the White House on Monday. We will talk to Kid Rock on Tuesday and tell you how it went. And the LIV Golf Tournament returns to Miami. Guess who's going? All right, I get time's up. It's me. That is it for us tonight. Tune into my radio show 9 to noon every single day amongst my great roster of guests, Senator Dave McCormick and the Secretary of State for Georgia, Brad Raffensperger. It's going to be interesting. Catch me on Fox and Friends every single day, including in a few hours. My final message to you is the same message I give you every week. Whatever you do, stay within yourself.
Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.